So I went back and forth. Am I going to teach over there and then come over here and play music? And then, I'm going to stay right here in my little comfortable spot. So I'll just keep my guitar on too. So as I was thinking about Mary, there's so many things. You know, sometimes when you're looking up women in the Bible, you know, you just have like this much space. Well, Mary takes up some real estate. She actually has some more places she shows up in the Word. I want to just start with Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. I'll just read it to you. It's when the angel visits her, and just that first scene. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She was freaking out. She was scared. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. It's so hard to imagine what this would be like. I mean, for just a second, just look at your hands. Touch your hands. Mary was human, just like us. And I've read that she was just a young teenager. And here she's having this angel appear to her. And right above this, the same angel, Gabriel, appeared to Zechariah. And Gabriel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." The same angel that showed up to Mary, this teenager, stands in the presence of God. And you might think, well, yeah, he's an angel. But how beautiful is it that heaven was talking about Mary? That in heaven, God's talking to an angel about Mary by name and talking about Zechariah. How incredible is it that God himself knows your name? He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows how you live. And I don't just mean like how you live, like are you naughty or nice? I mean, he knows what it's like, the minutes and the hours of your days. He knows what it's like in those times when it's really hard. And it just seems like it's just you. He knows. He knows your name. He knows you. Everything about you. And he cares. And here, out of all the ways Jesus could have come to this earth, God didn't choose a palace. God didn't choose this fortress where he would be protected, this fancy place for the Son of God to show up. God chose a teenage heart that loved him out of the whole earth. There's something very special to me about that. And what a huge and beautiful weight would be on Mary's shoulders. I mean, when she says, "Behold, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." I don't think she was just thinking about this way that the Son of God was going to grow within her. I can't help but think she's been a good girl. If you go down and Mary sings the song, she sings this song after she sees Elizabeth, and in that song, it's just almost all scripture. She spent her life following the Lord. She had something with the Lord. She cared. She knew. She knew who this Messiah was. She also would have known chapters in the Bible like Isaiah 53, where it says that he would be beaten beyond recognition. She would know that too. But she would know the promises for her and her people, for the humble, for the poor, to be lifted up, to be cared for, to be protected. She knew about this Messiah. But she was also submitting to, "I've never had people look at me sideways because I've done something wrong." She's going to be pregnant out of wedlock. I can't help but think, what am I going to tell Joseph? And we know, as we continue, as we read through the story and Matthew and all the times that the Lord spoke to Joseph in dreams to prepare him. But all these things, I imagine, were swimming through her mind when she said, "Let it be done to me according to your word." Mary, on earth, from an earthly perspective, was really nothing that special. She didn't have money. She didn't have a place necessarily in society, but in heaven, Mary was spectacular. And I don't think heaven's view has changed one bit. There's so much emphasis, isn't there, on... I had to see what you guys were looking at. I was like, oh! Anyway. You know, back then, I don't think there was so much emphasis put on our outward self. There wasn't, you know, all these posts, all these things, all these perfect people that we don't ever measure up to. But there's still always some of that pressure because it's just part of the world. And still, we see here how God looks at the heart. He did then, and he does now. And those of you here that are young. Okay, that wasn't very nice. Then there's people like me that aren't young. I'm just talking about myself. Anyway, I was thinking about this and just thinking how treasured you are to the Lord and how it matters how you live. And I also know how hard it is. And the Lord sees you. He sees you, and he's for you. When Mary, right from the start, she has this big scene with the angel, and she starts right away with a little bit of that struggle. And then she goes and she sees Elizabeth, and there's that moment where the baby inside Elizabeth jumps in the womb, leaps in her womb, and she sees somebody else confirming what the angel told her. And you know, there's times in our lives where the Lord's calling us to something that people don't really understand. It was like that for me when I was a teenager. I became a Christian when I was 18 years old. I had no upbringing in church at all. I knew nothing. But man, he brought light into a very dark place in me. And I wanted to know more. And I signed up for this place called Youth with a Mission. It's like a short-term missionary thing for young people. And I got in my little Honda, and I tell you, back then they were like little roller skates. I drove up to Oregon. You know, and everybody would ask me, well, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go to college? And I'm just like, going to this little place up in Oregon and try to learn about God. And people in my family, they didn't really understand. But there was somebody that did encourage me back home to go for it, to learn, to take this time before my life gets all set in place. And while I was young, to just go for it, to just do whatever I had to do to learn about him. It helps to have those people. And sometimes there's just one. You might just have one person that gets it, that gets you, that gets your heart, and that can handle it. When you're not perfect, but they see that desire in you. And next, we read of these shepherds out in the fields. And I love that too, because shepherds weren't special either on this earth. I'm just going to jump down to Luke 2:13. I'll read it. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And those shepherds, they heard about this baby that was going to be born in Bethlehem, and they had to get there. And as they went, they were telling everybody what these angels told them. And they found Mary. And it says, so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. There's a couple places it says that Mary did that. She treasured these things. Again, it was confirming what this angel spoke to her, because do you think, you know, some time had passed. Mary's pregnant, and nobody's letting her come in. Can you imagine the fear? And I can't help but think, maybe in the back of her mind, she's like, is this really how it's supposed to be for the Son of God? Did he forget? Am I doing something wrong? That's where I go. Am I doing something wrong? Did I miss it? And then the angels, the shepherds, the glory of God comes to the manger. And all through Mary, when I watched her life, read about her life, and thought about her, there was this process that she went through with Jesus of, this is my son. He's my son. He's mine. I got to take care of him. I've been entrusted to take care of my son, my firstborn son. But then there was this letting go, this surrendering again and again. The next scene, one of the next scenes is when Jesus was 12 years old. You probably have heard the story. As was the custom, when he was 12, their whole gang of people would go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. They all go, and then they're going back home. And a day had passed, and they started looking for Jesus, because they usually just hang with their friends and their family, and they couldn't find him, and they started asking around his family, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? No one had. And so they turn around and they go back to Jerusalem. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who had heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house? And they didn't understand the saying that he spoke to them. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. There she goes. Who knows how much time had passed since she'd had some sort of confirmation about all these glorious things that had happened with angels and babies leaping and bellies and things. We don't know how much time had passed. And then she gets another little glimpse. Okay, I'm seeing it unfold. And she treasured those things in her heart. And you know, treasure is things that we keep. It's the stuff we don't throw away. The things we keep. The things we cherish. The things we value. Mary treasured these things in her heart. And how important it is for us these days to treasure who we know Jesus to be. To treasure those things in our heart. To have the ability when things get hard. To know where to go. To keep adding to that treasure. So that when we suffer and when things are hard, we can still surrender. Because we see here the humanity of Mary. Her adrenaline was probably about coming out her ears. She was so worried about her son. And even though she saw him do this great thing, she still needed him to know, why would you do this? She's still a mom. So there it is again. It's her son. He's my son. And she surrenders. She has to keep surrendering. Can anybody relate with that in their own life? Where these things come up and they happen and they're hard and we're trying to fix it. We're trying to hold on. It's ours to do. We're trying to take care of things. And then we just have to surrender. We surrender to who we know God is. I'm going to jump down to Jesus on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross and Mary was near the cross, this is in John 19, starting at verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. If ever there was a time when Mary was just wrung out in pain, seeing her son, beaten beyond recognition, and yet Jesus looks at her from the cross and talks to John and says, "Behold your mother and behold your son." And from that time on, John took her into his home. Jesus had brothers and relatives, but he chose John because he knew John's heart. He knew what his mom needed. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. And not only that, this is one of my treasures. This view of Jesus on the cross. This is one of those places I go when I need to just have my heart set back on who I know him to be. Because nothing in this earth, when the worst thing could happen, being betrayed by your closest people, all the disciples but John fled, being in such huge physical pain. And yet with all that, Jesus never stops being Jesus, ever. I think it was just yesterday in my reading, my daily reading, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all." And this is one of those verses I treasure that reminds me that's true. Jesus never stops being Jesus. We have all the accounts in the Bible, and we can trust that's who he is right now. He never stops being Jesus. And we treasure these things. And we need these treasures in our hearts more than ever to have a place to go where our hearts become soft to who Jesus is. And it's in those moments when you just have a moment in his presence, a moment of remembering who he is, and we can take this life and these things that we're holding on to and we can surrender because we love him and we trust him. And the more, you know, we store up this treasure in our hearts, so when we suffer, we can surrender. I think out of everything that I learned from Mary, it's the continual surrender. You know, it didn't stop at the cross. She was there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. This is kind of a side thought, but I've always wondered, when the Holy Spirit filled her heart and filled that room, was it familiar? It's like, this feels like he's right with us again, because he is. And that same Spirit is within us. His Holy, Holy Spirit. And just this morning, when I woke up, I'll spare a lot of details, but I'll just say my house has had a bit of a leak and flood since November 15th. They just fixed it last night. It's a mess. It's been a little stressful. And this morning when I woke up, you know how it is when the air's cold but you're nice and warm in the covers? I'm like, I don't really want to get out of this bed. It's so comfy. So I was trying to trick myself by being productive. I thought, well, let me think about Mary. But I did think about Mary, and this is the thought that came to me. I thought, oh, Mary is in the presence of Jesus right now. She's seeing him. There's no need of light in heaven because Jesus' his face shines brighter than the sun. And can you imagine her suffering that she went through on earth, these times when it was just heartbreaking and hard, just as a mom? And she'd be there. And I don't want this to sound weird, but this is what came to me. I think if she could say anything to us, this is what she'd say. Trust him. You can trust him. And just like Mary was a human, and just like you're a human, and I'm a human, there is a process that's going on in our lives right now. And it's the same process that was going on in Mary's life. Because underneath everything, if you've given your life to Christ, underneath everything going on, there's this undercurrent where God is trying to strengthen your faith. He wants you to trust him. Everything that's going on. I'm not saying that everything has been caused for that to happen. I'm just saying this life we're living, there is a way to go through it with him. And it doesn't mean that there's not pain involved. Mary shows us that. Mary validates that. There's pain involved. But there's hope and there's strength as we trust him. There's meaning to our lives. And more than ever, the way things are out there, there's just this forces against us to try to just snuff out that light. But more than ever, we need to treasure who we know Jesus to be and shine of him. And that's it. We need to cultivate how much he loves us. And we have those times of treasuring him. And we store up that treasure in our hearts. So that when we suffer, we can surrender. And when we surrender, it's a good place to be. When we humble ourselves, when we let go and trust him. It's what makes us different than everyone in the world. It's because we have some place to go. We have a God who knows our name. We have someone that knows what it's like at home, the good and the bad. And we have someone, and he's the only one that can deal with a human soul, a human heart, a human spirit, the invisible places within us. It's what he tends to. And these days, I keep saying more than ever, but I believe it. We need to just give him a little more time to tend our hearts, to gather those treasures, to worship him and thank him. I'm going to call the worship team up. Kidding. I've always wanted to say that, but it's usually me. Let me get myself organized here. I'm actually going to sing a song called I Surrender. And just give us a time to put things back in his hands. Remember that verse where I think it's when the disciples, Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And I think he takes a nap and a big storm comes and they freak out and they go, and he says, where's your faith? It's a good question. Where's your faith? And I'm not saying that in a condemning way. Believe me. Sometimes we just need a little faith check. Just put it back into him. Put our faith back on him.